Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of the Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Earlier in the show, we were talking about, you know, Shea Patterson getting back into, well, he's changing coordinators again. I mean, he's changed coordinators every year for the past, what, six? Every year. Maybe seven. He's been in been under the tutelage of a different coordinator, and in many of those years, a different head coach. But at least this time, he is stepping back into an offense or a scheme that is familiar. He said, I didn't necessarily make it make the process, he wouldn't say easy, but it makes it quicker, makes the transition quicker. From a conversation I had with him, we talked about his dad, who, by the way, lived in Flint for a period. That is right. So Sean Patterson claims some Flint roots, even though he was born and raised in Toledo. He and the family lived in Flint for a little while. You can hear that coming out in the elder Patterson. But that's just one of the many guys that I've, or some of the people, some of the Michigan football people I've run into in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And, you know, you kind of get a feel for how things are going, you know, what some of the changes are going to look like. And one of the things that keeps coming through, and, you know, we all expect for the offense to be more explosive, right? Michigan has all these weapons and, you know, the receivers are really going to go off and slot guys are going to be prominent now. You know, guys like Mike Sainristal, for instance, who really lit things up during spring ball. But one of the very consistent themes in talking to several folks that I've run into over the last few weeks is while they think that the offense as a whole would be more explosive, the ball would be spread around, maybe the impact or the change that won't be that isn't being appreciated enough or being quantified enough as far as expectations are concerned, the production of the tight end position. I mean, you know, proof is obviously going to be in the pudding. And I make no mistake, I am not making any grandiose predictions based on what I'm being told. I'm just telling you the buzz about how much more of an impact on the passing game that the tight end will have has been very consistent across several people. They're definitely talking up Nick Eubanks, but this might surprise some people. There's a lot. Maybe it won't if you were paying attention in the spring. A lot of what you hear in the spring, you think is coach speak, right? But when you hear the guys say, you know, Sean McCune looks different. He looks different. Now, that says nothing about what he's going to. I'm not telling you what he's going to do. I'm just giving you the pulse during the offseason. He said back during the spring that he had dropped like 5-10 pounds. And it seems like, oh, 5-10 pounds, what's that, right? Doesn't sound like a big deal. You talk to the guys, they talk about it like it's transformational as far as his body is concerned. They say he's faster, tangibly faster, and that the things that Josh Gattis asks his tight end to do. And remember, we talked about, you know, what a big receiving threat Irv Smith was last year at Alabama. I mean, Irv Smith had about 40 receptions for them. Yeah, no, Irv Smith might have been the second leading receiver on Michigan's team. I have to pull up the stats to see. But you know, his output, his production might have made him a second leading receiver on Michigan's team last year. He was fourth. He was fourth for Alabama. So, you know, the tight end and the chess piece that he is, you know, splitting him out, motioning him, you know, doing different things with the tight end in the passing game. People on the inside say you are going to feel that difference with the tight end position.
Doesn't surprise me to hear you say that because I've heard some of the same rumblings that you have. And actually, I didn't mention it in this context, but this morning when I was talking about it, it's kind of silly season in college football because you get all these lists, right? The preseason prognostications from this league and that league. Today, I think it's the AAC came out with their preseason predictions from their media. was also watch list season. So you get the watch list names for this, that, and the other thing. And all it really does is tell you what gives you an idea of what people are thinking about for your team or your individual players going into the season. It doesn't actually mean anything until the players go out there and play it. But we've always seen so far with the Pednarik and the Maxwell, which is off the player of the year with Shays on the list, and the Pednarik, which is defensive player of the year, and the watch list, Metellus and LeVert Hill are both on that. But I said, I don't know what the schedule is for the rest of the week, but every day there will be watch lists released. And I would be surprised if Sean McCune's name is not on the Mackey watch list, preseason watch list, because I do expect, first of all, that he's going to get rumblings because of what people have been saying about him. But also, I do think that there will be it's just different how they're going to use the position. The offense is going to look a little bit different. Tight end's still going to need to be able to block, and Sean McCune's a very good blocker. But they're also going to want to get him in its speed in space. Or, and I know he uses speed in space, but it's really mismatches in space.
Oh,
is
no,
really
he,
the
he,
way.
He has a special tag for the tight ends. He calls them big speed in space.
Yeah,
big speed in space.
And really what that comes out, it's the offense, while he uses speed in space, it's mismatches in space. You're trying to create, where can you get a big guy in open space, or where you can get a big guy against a little guy? Where can you get a little guy that's fast against a big guy that's slow, right?
Yeah. Well,
you're just trying to create mismatches. So if you get a slot receiver against a linebacker, you get a tight end against a small, like a nickel or a small corner. That's what you're trying to create.
You know where you can really see this?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You can, if you pay attention to recruiting, and I talked about this in a recruiting roundup, might have been earlier this week. Theo Johnson. So Theo Johnson, the tight end out of Windsor. You can feel how much of a priority he is for Michigan. We talked about the difference between a guy and a dude on a recruiting trail. Like there are a lot of guys. They offer a lot of guys, but they only wait on a few dudes. You know, a dude you wait on as long as it takes. And so if you've been paying attention to Theo Johnson's recruitment, then you know they've told him he's a dude. You take as long as you want. You take as long as you want because you can do some of the things we want our tight end to be able to do now. And you could feel the shifting of emphasis on the board. This is my impression. It's not anything I was told. I'm giving you my impression. There is a moment in Michigan football recruiting in June that before Theo Johnson comes up in June to camp and after Theo Johnson comes up to June in camp, because you know, before he was kind of neck and neck with some other targets, in my opinion. After, oh, there was no question. He's top line. He's top of the, and not just for Michigan. I mean, I told you what happened with Iowa, right? They're very interesting recruiting tactic with Theo Johnson. So at first, you know, Iowa, they fancy themselves tight end. Maybe this is kind of why their approach was, hey, you know what? We like you. We hope you like us, but if you don't, we can go out. And, you know, good luck to you. We'll find someone else. I mean, that was their recruiting pitch. And this is coming from him. So I guess you could do that when you put two tight ends in the first round, even though you're Iowa. But then, okay, no, well, let's slow down a bit. You know, they turn it up. They warm up a bit. He comes on the official visit. And they tell him, you know what, you need to decide by the end of June. Then they come, because if you can't decide by the end of June, our tight end recruiting might proceed without you. And then it wasn't too long after that that they came back even and said, you know what? You take as long as you want. And you know how they use tight ends. I mean, they had two in the first round. You know, you can tell how Josh Gattis wants to use his tight end. Look at the Alabama offense. And you could see after he came up to camp, I talked to him about it. He said, they said you can do some things that other guys that we look at just aren't capable of doing. It illustrates, you know, it illustrates how they are going to put that position in more of a showcase role, in more of a matchup role. Right? They're going to do some things to get him down the field. They're going to be taking some more shots down the field, and that's going to include your big speed and space guy. And I pulled up Irv Smith's stats. Irv Smith last year, check this out, Ira. You paying attention? Irv Smith last year had 38 receptions for 648 yards. He averaged 17 yards a reception. You following me over there, IRA? I think you are. Care to guess what his season long for a reception was? Irv Smith, care to guess?
50.
76 yards. 76 yards. So you get an idea now that when we talk about more deep shots, showcasing the tight end more. Hey, Theo Johnson runs a low 4.640 at 6'6", 240 plus pounds. Now they say the word is, and I can't verify this. I don't have a sheet in front of me that lays out what the 40 times were in off-season conditioning, so I can't give you definitive proof. What they say is that's what Sean McCune's running now in that range. Now, again, like I said, I can't say that's indeed definitely the case, but it sounds like he's definitely moving better. Now, does that, you know, will the results on the field, you know, kind of follow that improve? I don't know. I can't offer you any promises along those lines. I can just tell you it sounds like he has put himself, and Nick Eubanks too, you know, they're going to be in position to really seize some expanded opportunities. We got to get to a break. Come back on the other side here. Close things out on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.